We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Ovel Perik Zayin Halacha Hey Chapter 7 Law 5. Ovel Bishloisha Yomim Shomni, a mourner in the first 3 days of his Shiva, Eino Hoylech, he doesn't leave his house, Afilo Beis Evel Acher, even to go into another person's house of mourning, he doesn't go, even though that's certainly a similar themed place, right? Certainly he wouldn't go for anything else, but not even that. And, okay. Now, Mikan Ve'elech, after the first 3 days, Ha'elech, he could go somewhere up of a mourner's place only. Ve'ene Yoshev bin Koma Menachemim, he can't sit in the place of those who are giving the comfort, I guess in those places, that designated areas. Ela bin Koma Misnachemim, he only can be in the place where the mourners of the other place are as well. He can be there. So he can't go anywhere else from out of his house. So it seems, from the Rambam at least, you could go to another Shiva house. Let's say your best friend sit in Shiva. So after 3 days of you being Shiva in your house, you could go to his house, but you have to sit where the mourners would be sitting. Interesting halacha.
And daven there as well?
I don't see why not. Shnia, what about this? That's all called Shabbos Rishon. It's all the first week. Shnia, second week, Shiva's over. Yotze, he can go out. Ve'ani Yoshim come, but he shouldn't really sit in his regular place. Shlishi's in the third week. Yoshim bim Kome can sit in his regular place, outside of the house. Ve'ani B'davik Tarp, but doesn't speak like he usually speaks with people. Okay. But rather he sits silently and doesn't talk. He doesn't schmooze with the chevra, just sits quietly. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya makes a point. He says, nowadays, the custom is, a person doesn't sit in his place the entire 30 days. This is what you're talking about in Shul now. There is such a halacha. For the first 30 days, you don't sit in your regular makam kavua when you're a mourner. And for a parent, it's the whole year. Okay, now.
Not understanding as to why?
You know, it's part, you know, understanding. It's you know, things are different. You're mourning. So you're displaced. You're not in your regular place of comfort zone. So you're in a displaced zone. Now, however, what about a mourner going to shul? Right? So the mourner during the 7 days does not leave the house to go to shul except on Shabbos. Of course, if there's no minyan, but on Shabbos he goes to shul. And after davening, the avil goes home. And the custom was that the congregation would follow him home and sit with him in his house for a little while. And this was all based on a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer that King Solomon saw that the attribute of kindness is so great. So when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he built two gates, two special gates in the Beis HaMikdash. One was for grooms and one was for mourners and people who are excommunicated. And people, the Jewish people would go on Shabbos and they sit between those two gates. So if a guy went through the Chassan's gate, they know to, whoever went through the Chassan's gate, they livened them up. And if someone went through the gate of the mourners, and they could see that his head was covered and everything else, and it was a mourner, and they would say words of comfort, and that's what they did in the times of King, when they had a Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they made a takana that the chassanim and the mourners should go to shul. And if they'd see the mourner, they'd sit with him on the ground. So everybody should fulfill their obligation of doing chesed with them as well. So you see that there is this aspect of even if he has to go to shul. This is assuming that they can't go back to his house with him. But that's the inyan over there. Okay, finally the Rambam concludes. Revis, after the fourth week, Areyu Kecholodim, he's like a regular person, but we've already shown that that was not like the halacha of the Rambam. Okay, but the bottom line is, you do daven in a different place for the first 3 days of regular mourner, for a parent a whole year. That is the halacha we follow. Okay, now I move to a different mourner, halacha vav. Kohen Gadol, how about the high priest? Chayv b'chol divrei avelus, he's chayv in every aspect of mourning with the following exceptions. He's not able to rip his garments on the upper half of his body. The Torah says that they can't rip their garments like typical people. Because it's below, in a discreet place. Also, what they don't do is legadol per, let the hair grow wild. Okay, in other words, and the halacha is, here's the halacha, Martin. The halacha is the Kohen Gadol takes a haircut every Friday. Once a week, when the mishmaros, when the guard, the week-long shift shifts. Okay, when they change the shift every Friday, right, this one goes in, this one gets out, he needs to give a haircut, so the new group sees him look really good. In other words, the new group should always see the Kohen Gadol at his finest. So he still does that. But it's not a daily haircut. And I think it was Nogay in the beginning of the
halachos. The king gets a daily haircut.
King is a daily haircut. Yeah. But the Kohen gets a weekly haircut.
Right.
Okay, so that's what he's, the exceptions are. And also another exception for the Kohen Gadol, Ulatz Yisach Hermita does not follow the funeral procession, because the Torah says he cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't. His house is in the Beis HaMikdash. And the whole of the people have to come to his little house. He has in the Beis HaMikdash to give him comfort. So when they give him the first meal after the funeral, everyone sits on the ground because of his exalted title. He sits on a bench. And they say to him, so when they want to give him words of comfort, interesting words, they say, Anu kaparatcha. We are your atonement. You should have reached atonement through us. We're in your place. In other words, if you're supposed to get any punishment for your parents, because remember we said the more Hareini Kaporas Mishkava, I am the atonement for the departed one. So in case you need any atonement, we want to take the atonement for you. And the Imam, one second, Vahu Amar Lehem, and he says, Tisparchu Min HaShemayim. You should be blessed from the heavens. I guess you shouldn't get the punishment. What if the Kohen Gadol wants to comfort others when they come back from the cemetery, and the Avil's staying in his place, and all the people are going to the people to comfort? If a Kohen Gadol wants to give comfort to somebody else, so what happens? Hamemuna, the one who's the appointed one, that's the Skan HaKohen, that's the assistant Kohen Gadol, who always stands to the right of the Kohen Gadol. So, and he's the one in charge of all the other Kohanim. Mimatzo b'socham, he puts the Kohen in the middle of all the people, meaning that the appointed assistant one is to the Kohen Gadol's right. All the people are the Kohen Gadol's left, and even the mourners are to his left. The Kohen Gadol's in the middle. V'amar lahem, and he says to them, Tenu chamu, you shall be comforted. Zion. V'chein ha-melech. So too a king of Israel is obliged in all aspects of mourning. So he cannot leave the palace after the person has died, because it's denigrating for the king for him to show his very sad expression in front of the people, because the pasuk in Yeshaya says the king shall only be seen in his beauty. Where there is an aspect to not see a leader in a compromised place. And when he's suffering so greatly, you shouldn't see him showing any emotion. They're going to think the king's a softy. They're not going to respect him. They're not going to fear him. So he leaves his emotions in the palace, as it were, to himself. It's very lonely at the top, as they say. And it goes without saying, he doesn't follow other mourners. He doesn't give comfort to other mourners. Well, we find that David did take part in the mourning process for one of his officers. So why did David follow Avner when he died? Let everybody know that when Avner was killed, it was not on his behest. It's, as you know, that Avner was the general of Shalom, who was the enemies against David. And David's general, who was Yoav, if I'm not mistaken, he assassinated Avner.
Against the
and the king said not to do it. So it was not a good thing for the
through
king.
For the yibum, for the chalitz. Remember, right. He said, "How do you tie the shoe?"
Right, and then wham, and he killed him. So anyway, so the fact that Avner, David followed the funeral procession for Avner, which is not befitting for a king, he did so people will not think that David did it, wanted his king, his general to do it for him. So that was the exception. Hello, Hidia Shalom Shalnagar son, to know that he was not killed with his desire. Ches. In order of Nicholas Amalek Lanach, a person does not go to give words of comfort to the king, except who can go, Elavada, but his closest servants, who mission us, someone should speak us, someone who's given permission to come. And even those who will come, they can only give the certain words that they're given permission to. I'm going to give him the meal after the funeral. Everyone sits on the ground. And he lies on the fancy bed, his bed throne, whatever, that's unique for him. All right, we move now to Perek Ches. Just put this in over here, chapter 8. We now are going to, the entire Perek Ches deals with one topic, and the topic is Kriya. Ripping your garment.
Let's tear right into this.
Yes. Avel chayev likroya almeso. A mourner is obliged to rip his garment over a dead person that he has to mourn for. Shenemar, as the pasuk says about the kohanim who are the exception to the rule, ubigdechem lo sifromu velo samusu. Don't rip your garments and you shall not die. Which implies, so acher chayev li from, others are obliged to rip their garments. Now, it would appear, you would think, that this is a biblical halacha, because it's derived from the Torah. However, the Ramban says no, that it's only rabbinic. We have a pasuk, so he's saying the pasuk is just an asmachta, just a reliance, because you can explain the pasuk like this. The Kohanim are told, you don't rip your garments, but other mourners, not that they're obliged to, because other mourners are permitted to, but they're not chayef to. And that would appear to be the Rambam's position as well, that it's a commentary say that it's rabbinic and not biblical.
Who's the Torah speaking to that says, do not rend your garments?
Kohanim. Ve'ein kriya ela mu'umad. And kriya can only be done in a standing state. If you do it sitting down, you're not yotzei. How do we know this? By David HaMelech when he mourned. Shenemar says, Vayakam HaMelech, the king got up, he stood up. Vayikres Begadav, he ripped his garments. So clearly, it seems that if you're sitting down, it withholds you from doing the mitzvah. Even if you forgot and ripped while you were sitting, you have to re-rip standing up. And that's the halacha, the way it is pasuk.
Rabbi, sorry. Can you infer a positive from a negative commandment?
Oh, yes, for sure. If these one are told not to, why do we tell these guys not to? Because everybody else does. Remember, they're talking about the uniqueness of a kohen. Kohen can't become tummy. That means everybody else does become tummy. Different halachas, you know, who are saying that they are the different, they don't, that implies that everybody else does. Now, base, kama shiur hakera. What is the amount? Oops, I skipped the line. Nobody caught me on that. We still didn't finish out. Where does he rip? Milfanim, in the front of his garments, not the back. Vakorea me'achrav, you rip from the back of your garments, or mincenim from the sides, or milmat, or below the belt. Lo yasei chavaskri, if not fulfilled the obligation of ripping. Elak, there's only one who can rip below the belt. Koin godol shupores milmat, or koin godol. It's not dignified for him to rip the higher part, but he has to rip something to show his emotion. So he rips the lower part of the garment. Base, kamashir akera, how much is a ripping? The halacha is tefach, one tefach.
4 inches.
As the pasuk says, it says, and David grabbed onto his garment and ripped it. Now grabbing isn't less than a tefach. Right? A grab is a tefach. So that's, we see that the amount is a tefach. Now, when you do the grabbing for a regular mourner, vein tzarech lahavdil svas aveget, you don't have to rip apart the border of the garment, the edge, whatever. You could leave that fine, and you can rip below that, even though on top it is okay. You don't have to rip your garment in two, as it were. If it's not for appearance, you could just rip right in the middle, without ripping it, that it flaps over and it becomes two pieces, as it were. Okay. However, umutalo likra bekali, you can use a utensil for the ripping. You'll see this is not for a parent, but it's talking about you rip it in a way that it will not cause permanent damage. If you rip it with a utensil, maybe you could rip it on the seam, or you can rip it in a way, I guess their material was different than our material, but if you rip it with a utensil, then it's non-repairable. They're saying you can rip it with a utensil that it could be ultimately sewn up. This is, again, not for parents, though. V'yeshol ikrav bifnim, and he should rip it on the inside, or he's permitted to rip it on the inside, meaning if he has an outer garment, he can rip underneath so nobody sees it. So people will not really see him ripping his garment. Lefikach, therefore, yeshol lahachnis yado bifnim, he should put his hand inside the outer garment, v'kareya betzina, and he rips it discreetly, the upper part of the body of the garment. V'ein chayev likra ela beged el yom bilvad. You only have to cut the upper garment and not the lower garment.
Can I ask some questions?
If you want to.
Okay, I got three questions. Number one, does that mean you can rip the inside lining out? Number two, can you just
the inside lining out?
You said you could stick your hand inside so it's not seen and just rip the lining.
Well, you're not really ripping the garment. You've got to rip the garment.
But your suit has a lining. Can you rip the lining?
But then you're not ripping. You're only ripping the. You have to rip the shirt. You have to rip a garment.
So covering your shirt is not enough, you're saying?
What?
Ripping your shirt is not enough.
It could be, yeah, but it's not for a parent.
So for a parent, it has to be your suit.
Parents got to be a lot more. It's everything.
Okay, and but, you
going to talk about
for
that?
A parent, how do you rip a suit without a utensil, without scissors?
No, okay, it doesn't mean that. In other words, of course, you can't rip, nowadays, you can't rip anything, but that's only the initial cut.
Start, right.
The initial cut, because we just can't physically do it.
Right.
What they're talking about, they're saying, can you rip it in a way that you can repair it afterwards? So over there, if you rip with, in those days, if you ripped with a utensil, that means it was repairable. So that's what he's saying, for a non-parent mourner, you could rip with a utensil that becomes subsequently repairable. But for a parent, you don't use it. Nowadays, the clothing is made in a way that if we don't use a utensil for the initial part, you can't rip it at all. But once the initial part is done for you, then the mourner does with his hands, and he rips it in a destructive way.
Last question, what about a tie? I saw it was a funeral.
Ties are not garments. That's reformed. That's not orthodox. We don't use it. That's not your garment. It's not a garment. You're not yotze with that. It's got to be something that covers your body. A tie does not cover your body.
You wouldn't wear a tie.
It's not a garment of clothing. It's, what do you call it? An accessory.
It goes for the birthday suit.
Right? So, you know, in the old days, the reformed, they don't want to inconvenience anybody with anything. So, just take a, and then, I bet you this, I don't know, I bet you the funeral places give you a tie at a very reduced rate of $500.
They give you a black ribbon.
We can't even make this religion at all disturb you. Even for your parent, you know, you don't have like one old shirt to rip.
How about a suit?
Whatever. Anyway, let's continue. Gimel. Kol Shivas Yemei Avelus, the entire 7 days of mourning, Hakera Lifanim, the ripped garment is in front of him. Okay, in other words, you can't take the shirt for whatever and let's say turn it around. I mean, if you have a toga or something, you can just turn it around and make the rip behind. No, it's got to be in the front. Vimbala HaChalif, and if you want to switch to another garment, Machlif, is it for not parents again? You switch Ve'ena Korea Kera Acher, you don't rip another ripping. She called Kera She'ena Bishas Chimum, any ripping that is not at the time, that's not at the time of heat, meaning when you're very sad at the time of death or the funeral, that when the pain is intense, that's called a kriya. But if you do it any other time, ain't no care. That's not considered a ripping. It's not just destroying your clothing.
Did I just understand that the second day you can wear a clean shirt?
You don't have to wear the ripped garment. It's not for a parent.
I know.
But medvarim, when are we going to speak about all this? Bishar may seem other relatives. Chutz may avivimo, which excludes a father and a mother.
Let's say it's a sibling.
Okay.
You can change your shirt. You don't have to wear the same shirt.
Let me finish the Rambam. Volim avi valimo, but for the father and mother, Korea, you rip at shemegala es libo until you reveal your heart. So you have to rip even more than a tefach. to reveal the heart. You can start from ripping the shirt and you'll see why? Because you now can no longer honor your parents anymore the way you could have when they were alive, which is a mitzvah that depends on the heart. So you reveal your heart. And more than that, umavdil svas abeged, and you rip apart the garment. That's why you have to cut from the edge. So now the garment has, it looks ripped apart. Veinu kariyabekli, you don't use the utensil, meaning that it's irreparable. Elabiyado, but you use your hands, mibachutz, from the outside, bifneikom, everybody sees it. For a korea, call up a garment, you rip all the garments you got. You got a jacket, shirt, until the undershirt. We don't rip the undershirt. Because the next line says, ubeger azeya hadavah guzor, but the sweat garment, the underclothing, that catches the sweat, einamak, it doesn't hold you back. You don't have to do that. Certainly don't cut tzitzis and damage a mitzvah garment. And also, if you change your clothing, you have to cut it, the entire shiva, even though it's not the time of sadness, the same intense sadness, and these have to be rips that can never be repaired again. Okay, now.
Is that just for a father and mother?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for non-father, non-mother.
You do, it would appear from the Rambam, you only do one rip at the funeral.
And you could change your garment, it seems, and you wouldn't have to wear your...
Yeah, from the Rambam, that's what it appears.
But at the beginning of the halakha, the non-parent, it seems to contradict. It says...
Why?
The entire 7 days, he keeps the tear in front of him.
If you don't change the garment. Right?
You may, but...
It says, look at Gimel, look at 3, Paul.
That's what it looks
like. I'm looking at it. It looks like the requirement is you must
keep it, right? You keep it.
Go to the beginning of 3, though.
I am.
Right.
So the entire 7 days, you have to keep the tear in front of you.
Continue. The next
but if you want to switch it,
you can change
you switch it.
And you do. What does it say if you change it?
Then you don't need to rip
Thank
it.
Thank you.
That's
so
right.
You
but
the
if you're keeping the same garment, you keep it ripped in front of you. That's what he's saying.
But if you switch it, you don't have to.
Okay, where am I up to? Now this one we don't hold of at all, so you can ignore the next few lines. And it's also for a father and a mother. Choletz ksefo, you should uncover your shoulder, umotzis roa, and stick out the arm, minachaluk, from the shirt, achiskal ksefo, so until your arm and shoulder are revealed. The holekach with me'amidi, you go that way in front of the funeral procession. After the father and mother are buried, you don't have to reveal your shoulder anymore. Yeah, but we don't do this. Nowadays, we don't do this at all. It's not nogay anymore.
Not
including
25 below
weather. So at what point of the funeral do you occur?
We don't do it.
No. When you do tear, is that before the person?
There's two different opinions. The standard custom nowadays, we do it immediately before the funeral. Even though there's much halachic reason to do it right at the time of death, especially if you're present at the death, but the reason it is deferred is for a number of reasons, and one of the reasons is because most people don't know how to do kriya properly, and the rabbi usually isn't there at death, so you delay it for when there's a rabbinical supervisor for that. And also there is another, and the truth is, before the funeral, it's a very intense time as well. Of ripping. Now then there's different customs even at the funeral. Some do it before the funeral service at the funeral home. Others wait until you get to the cemetery and you do it at the cemetery. There's different customs about that, but the general custom now is that we do not do it at the time of death, and we only do it at some stage in the funeral service.
So if you're going to say the
The Baruch Dynamis is done at the Kriya. Always done right before the Kriya. So it's all done standing up. You stand for a bracha, you stand for Kriya, and it's all done beforehand. And many people don't know the bracha either. So that's why I usually wait to have rabbinical supervision for these types of things.
So would you say Baruch Dynamis without a bracha?
You can.
Doesn't matter.
You can. Remember, once the person dies, aside from the Kriya, you don't make brachas. So you want to make sure you're doing it right, but you're not saying Hashem's name. You could. I don't see why you couldn't. You're not saying Hashem's name anyway. All right, Dalit, how about little children who are present? Do they rip their garments? Karim lokotan, you rip garments of a child, but look at the reason why. Mipnei agmas nefesh, to create a tremendous amount of sadness. What does that mean? That you want the people who see the little kid rips his garment, everyone goes, oh, Nebuch, right? And a sympathy, and it arouses more sadness, which gives more honor for the dead person, but not because of the child in Avelus, because really the child's a katan, he's not chayiv in Avelus. And it's not the kind of thing we have missed to train him. It's not like, you know, tzitzis. We're going to train him to where tzitzis, when he gets old, where tzitzis. We don't want to train people to be Avelim. So really they're not chayiv at all, but we do these customs so that the adults see it and they, you know, they get very sad, which gives more honor to the dead. Now, what if there's a very sick person and a close relative of theirs dies? So now how much do they get involved in this mourning process, realizing that could cause significant health damage that could, God forbid, finish off the sick person? So ein makorin lo, they don't rip for him. V'lo modiin lo, they don't inform him. Shalti tarif, alav dat, we don't have to get confounded. And you silence the women who are usually there. There's also a chevra of mourning women who wail aloud. And as they don't wail aloud, you don't eulogize before him. They don't want him to break his spirit, even if you're going to tell him, or if he knows, you try to limit the amount of mourning that's going on over there. And even if, let's say, he's, you know, there's all kinds of concerns. Even if it's a non-relative, if he's there and it could affect him in a very terrible emotional way, and we're afraid he may die too, we're trying to minimize what's doing. So I remember with my in-laws, Olav Shalom, that when my father-in-law was in the intensive care unit, and then his wife had a stroke as well, and then he was always asking how she, and they were in two separate hospitals, and he was asking about her, and then she passed away, and he was still in the intensive care, and we asked the Shaila, and we were told not to tell her father. And my wife was sitting Shiva, and then she'd be going to the hospital, because if she wouldn't come every day, he'd think something was the matter. So she'd go back and forth, going back, and he never knew that she passed on until he passed on 2 weeks after she passed away. So there is sometimes no mitzvah to inform people of all these things. Okay, we'll pause over here.